You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 3. In a few moments, we're going to be reading verses 23 through verses 29. Thank you for choosing to come and be with us this morning in our first in-person service during the corona pandemic. Man, we've missed you, and we hope you've missed each other and you've missed us. But we are so excited, as Corey said, to actually get to preach to faces this morning instead of preaching to a camera. We're going to continue with our 2020 vision in 2020 sermon series. Many of you have been following us online, and you know that the last several weeks, other than the 4th of July weekend, we've been talking about the church. So this morning and next Sunday morning, we're going to be talking about the two ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, because of this new format and because of the strict guidelines and us having to disinfect this whole place as soon as you leave to get the next group in, I've only got about 26 or 27 minutes this morning. Now, be mindful. Corey told me that last Sunday I actually preached 67 minutes online. Okay, so we may only get to the first point this morning, but we're going to try to give you a summary of what we believe is the biblical ordinance of baptism. If I was to give a title of this message this morning, it's going to be very personal. You ready? Your baptism, is it biblical or denominational? Your baptism, is it biblical or is it denominational? And I hope when this sermon is over this morning, you understand the difference. I did what I normally do on Sunday morning, and that is after I was ready, everything was finished, the outline was made, I walked into the bedroom where Mimish was doing her devotion in the bedroom, and I started to give her a summary of the sermon, a preview, so to speak. And as soon as I mentioned I'm preaching on baptism, she said to me, I have permission to share this from her, what do you need to know? I'm an expert. I've been baptized 3 times, and then I saw her face. I saw the hurt. I saw the disappointment. See, Mimish actually was reared at Kirksey Baptist Church, and after hearing the gospel in a vacation Bible school and the Holy Spirit convicting her, the Sunday after Bible school, she and a group of her friends went down to the aisle, and in a group prayer, she put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. A week later, she was baptized. A few years later, her family would experience a divorce, and she would begin to attend the Seventh-day Popular Church of Christ in Murray, Kentucky. To be told repeatedly that she was not saved, could not be saved, until she was baptized in a Church of Christ church. And so to be saved, she got baptized. Several years later, she would begin to date me. We would go to her church some. We would go to my church some. And I'll never forget, after us getting married, and this is a whole nother story, us coming to terms with what we believe the Bible taught and the differences between the Baptist church and the Church of Christ church, she felt the leadership of God's Holy Spirit to join our church, Ledbetter Baptist Church, only to be told that she'd have to be baptized again. Reason being, even though she was baptized at Kirksey Baptist Church after being saved, because she agreed to a Church of Christ baptism, that Church of Christ baptism, according to our pastor, nullified her real baptism, and thus she had to be baptized again, to which she agreed. This morning, this was not going to be my introduction. I just want to apologize on behalf of the church for all of the false teaching about a precious ordinance called baptism. Please, as pastor of Hardin Baptist Church, representing our Lord and Savior, if you have been hurt because of the church's lack of ability and understanding to get this thing right and us stand in unity, I just want to say I'm sorry to you. This morning, after years and years and years of being your pastor and us together as a church, coming up with what we believe is biblical baptism, I would like for each one of us to listen this morning, not in a judgmental way, not in a condemning way, not to be right or not to be wrong, but just to examine our baptism and to ask the question, is my baptism, me, Brother Ricky, is your baptism biblical or is it denominational? Would you stand with me as we open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, and let's begin reading verses 23 through verse 29. Key verses will be verses 26 and 27. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming of the faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be, listen to this, justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. That just sounds so simple. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring. Heirs according to the promise. You may be seated. Father, one more time, we ask for you to add your blessings to the reading of this, your word. You know our heart. You know how we believe baptism should be biblical, not denominational. You know how we believe it should be personal, even though it's public. So I ask you to take your word right now and help each one of us examine our baptism or lack of baptism through the lens of Scripture. Because, Father, in this year 2020, and it's been a year that, wow, none of us could have planned for back January 1, we want to make sure we are biblically baptized. In your Son's name, we ask now for you to guide us as the speaker and as the congregation. In your Son's name, we pray. Amen. Hey guys, we're going to follow a very simple format this morning, if you don't mind. I'm going to ask four questions and give you four answers. And I hope the questions and answers allow you to determine whether or not your baptism is biblical or it's denominational. First question we're going to ask this morning is this: who should be baptized? Then the second question we're going to ask is, when should they be baptized? The third question we're going to ask is, how should they be baptized? And then the fourth question is, why should they be baptized? I believe when this sermon is over and you can answer these four questions, not just from the sermon, but take your Bible and your experience, you will discover whether or not your baptism is biblical or it was denominational. Everybody ready? First question, who should be baptized? Now, I hope this doesn't surprise any of you who attend Hardin Baptist Church, but here's my one-word answer. And it's the only people who should be baptized, and that's believers. I believe when we study the New Testament from Matthew to Revelation, there is only one group of people in the Bible that should have been baptized, and those people were believers. Jesus himself in Mark's gospel, in Mark's version of the Great Commission, if you remember when we're studying Mark's gospel, we believe that possibly a disciple of Mark added that ending. He has Jesus saying, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe is condemned already. So who would Jesus believe should be baptized? Jesus would believe that believers should be baptized. So the first thing I want you to ask yourself is this question. When I was baptized, was I a true believer in Christ? If you were not a true believer in Christ, then Scripture is going to teach, not man, but Scripture, that your baptism may be denominational and not biblical. Or it may be personal, but not biblical. Biblically, the people who get baptized are believers in Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, We see in the book of Acts, especially in the 18th chapter in the 8th verse, that Paul leaves Athens. He goes down to Corinth. He begins to preach the gospel, and many people believe the gospel. And Acts 18:8 clearly teaches that many of the Corinthians, having heard Paul's word, believed and were baptized. In Acts chapter 16, if you remember, Paul and Silas, they've been in jail. They've been in prison. All of a sudden, they get released by God from prison. The doors open, and the Philippian jailer is going to take his life. Paul and them tell him not to, and he falls down before them and asks this question: what must we do, sirs, to be saved? And Paul instructs him that he can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he'll be saved and all of his household. And then he takes Paul and Silas home with him. And the next verse teaches that Paul and Silas preach the word to everyone in the household. And then we discover that everyone in the household gets baptized. Now again, Luke writing lets us know that Paul told the Philippian jailer the way he can be saved and his family can be saved is by believing in Jesus. And then when they go to the household, they didn't just baptize everybody in the household till they preached the word to everyone in the household. And then it says, those who heard the word. The implication being what? Everybody there was old enough to hear. Everybody was there old enough to understand what you had to do before you could be baptized. And that was you had to believe. And then the whole household was baptized. Acts chapter 10, remember how Peter gets that vision to go to the household of Cornelius, a Gentile, and when he gets to the household of Cornelius and he begins to preach, the Holy Spirit falls. He's just told them that the Old Testament testifies that whosoever believes in Jesus as the Messiah will receive forgiveness of sins. And while he's preaching that message, Holy Spirit falls upon them. Peter recognizes the Holy Spirit didn't just anoint the place. They've all received the Holy Spirit. And then he stands before his Jewish brothers and he says to them, you that are with me, can any of you forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just like we? You could heard a pin drop. There wasn't a word said. And what did they do? They baptized them in the name of the Lord. When does a person receive the Holy Spirit of God? A person receives the Holy Spirit of God the moment of faith. At the moment of faith, a person is made right with God. And because a person is made right with God, that makes us eligible to be baptized. I want to share with you on the basis of the New Testament, there is no other person who should ever be baptized other than a true believer in Christ. So I want you to ask yourself this question this morning. I want you to go back, if you can, to the time you were baptized and ask yourself this question. At that time, was I a true believer? Had I, by faith, been brought into a right relationship with God? For see, what many of us are going to discover is that our profession of faith was false, even if we were raised in a grace church. And many of us made a profession later, but have never identified that faith. We'll talk about that in just a minute, because we think we're baptized. If you were baptized and you were not a true believer, you just got wet. You weren't biblically baptized. Amen? Y'all need to help me a little bit. Amen? Now, secondly, when should a person be baptized who's a believer? And can I just say this? ASAP. Does everybody know what ASAP means? As soon as possible. I want to apologize to those of you like me who was raised in a Baptist church, especially a little small country Baptist church, where we waited till enough people got saved for it to be worth us driving down to the lake and getting baptized. Y'all know what I mean? I mean, it was almost like me getting saved by myself wasn't worth the effort for all of us to go down to the lake and baptize one person. So if we could wait till at least 8 or 9 or 10 of us got baptized, that meant some of us had to wait 4, 5, 6 months in order to be baptized, because it was just the way Baptists did it. I mean, you almost waited till the spring revival to get saved so you could be baptized in the summer. I'll never forget March 24th, 1974, receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And it's in March, and Ledbetter didn't traditionally baptize until the summer because we didn't have a baptistry, and we'd have to call Jonathan Creek. We'd have to make a reservation, and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we would go to Jonathan Creek and we would baptize. And the thought of being saved in March but having to wait to July just broke my heart. My sister got saved the same Sunday I got saved. There was a few other people in our church that got saved. And we asked the church, even though we didn't have a pastor, if it would be possible, since we didn't have a baptistry, could we just call around and see if another church would let us borrow their baptistry and see if we could get somebody else to baptize us under the authority of the church. And the church agreed. And guess what? We called Dexter Baptist Church, and Brother Cope, Glenn Cope, was the pastor there, and they had had several people got saved. And so we decided to call Flint Baptist Church, and they called Flint Baptist Church, where Hayward Roberts was the pastor, and he agreed to let both of our churches come. And we got baptized that night. About 20 or 30 of us got baptized that night, and Brother Cope baptized. I'll never forget this. I just happened to be standing in the hallway when Brother Cope and Brother Roberts, now these men are my peers now, were my peers, and one, but I'm a kid, 13 years of age, and I remember them saying to each other, I'm not sure all of these young people really understand what they are doing. And as soon as they said that, I looked at both of them and said politely, I do. And it was the very fact that I had put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ that put a burning desire in my heart to not wait months, not wait years. But as soon as I could go down into that waters of a baptistry, because I wanted everyone to know that my faith was in Jesus Christ. Now please hear me. I gotta be careful. I'm not supposed to walk down where you're at. If you got saved and were raised in a church that didn't instruct you to get baptized to months or years later, that doesn't mean you're not biblically baptized. But please, as a parent, don't make the mistake your church made or your parents made. When your child or when your neighbor, when your coworker puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you believe it's real, you instruct them that as soon as possible, as a believer, you go down into the water of biblical baptism. Amen. Thirdly, how? How should I be baptized? I know this is controversial because I know if we read an English dictionary is going to say that baptism is a church ordinance or sacrament, and you can be sprinkled, poured, or immersed. And basically, that's what the English word baptism means. When we come to mode, when we come to how to be baptized, what's the proper way to do it? You got a choice. You can be sprinkled, you can be poured, or you can be immersed. I know you know this, but if we were to open up our Greek dictionary, we wouldn't have that choice. Oh, I mean, we've got choices. But if we look up the Greek word baptizo and the root of baptizo, which is babto, here's the definition: to immerse, to dip, to plunge, to submerge. Now, does everybody agree that to immerse, to dip, to plunge, and to submerge all speak of the same act? Got to ask you this question. Were you immersed? Did you go completely down into the water and completely out of the water? Because that's how we're baptized. Just as you have to be a believer and a true believer, you must also be baptized only by immersion. You say, well, Brother Key, why does the English word have these other definitions? Well, let me tell you. Most of us in the English-speaking world at one time had a King James Version of the Bible. And as the Bible's being translated from Greek to Latin and Latin to English and then from Greek to English, King James, who had a falling out with his church and wanted to start his own church, decided to authorize an English version of the Bible. And he had 70 translators translating the Bible. And as they began to translate the New Testament and they came to this Greek word baptizo, they knew what it meant by definition, but they knew the king had not been immersed. He's paying for the project. It's literally his version of the Bible. And so to get around that difficulty of offending the king, here's what they did. They just transliterated the word instead of translating the word. If I was, and I didn't have this, but if I put baptizo on the screen and then put baptism on the other screen, you would see that they look almost identical. We basically coined a new English word, and that word was baptism, by taking the Greek letters and giving its corresponding English equivalent. I get tickled at modern scholarship because all modern scholarship says, wow, our newer translations are getting closer to the Greek New Testament, but I don't know of a Bible translation anywhere that translates the Greek word baptizo the way it should be translated into English, and that is repent and be immersed, repent and be dipped, repent and be plunged, believe and be submerged. Do you understand if the Bible had been translated correctly, we wouldn't be Hardened Baptist Church, we'd be the Hardened Dipping Church. Nobody would ask you if you're a Baptist. They'd say, are you one of those dippers? And you'd gladly say, yes, I'm one of those dippers. Have you been dipped? Have you been plunged? Have you been submerged? If baptism is an ordinance and symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I submit to you, the only way you can be baptized to fully convey that symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is by fully going under the water and fully coming up out of the water. I ask you this question. Have you been biblically baptized? And then fourthly, got 6 minutes, guys. Why? When I answer this question, you're going to understand more of why it's so important for you to be baptized as soon as possible after becoming a Christian. Now, before I answer this question, I want to say this. For years as a young person, I think I studied the Bible more verse against verse method than the true method. Was any of you raised to where you were taught something and you had friends who believed something different, so you used your verses against them and their verses? Did any of you do that? Come on. Yeah. You know, somebody would give you a verse and you really wouldn't think about your verse because you thought that verse contradicted your verse. I used to be that way. I won a lot of arguments, lost a lot of friends. I don't study that way anymore. I don't study verse against verse. I study verse with verse. I believe there are some key baptism passages that we all must study if we're going to answer this question, why we're baptized. And that's Romans chapter 6. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, 1 Peter chapter 3, Colossians chapter 2, and Galatians chapter 3. Now listen to what the scripture has just said in Galatians chapter 3. Why am I being baptized? 3:26 says that by faith I became a son of God. The earlier verse said that I was made right with God. I was justified by faith. So the moment I put my faith in Jesus, I become justified. My sins are forgiven. I'm now in a right relationship with God. So why did I get baptized? Paul spent the whole first part of Galatians stressing that we're not saved based on what we do. We're saved based on what God's done for us in Christ, and we have to believe the gospel. Now he throws in this little line, but it's a big line. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When I take Galatians chapter 3 and Romans chapter 6 and 1 Peter chapter 3 and Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Colossians 2 and put them all together, here's why I think you get baptized. You get baptized to identify that your faith, saving faith, is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You get baptized to show, to identify that your faith for salvation is not in you, but it's in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. At the moment of faith, God puts you in Christ. And then you outwardly get baptized to let the world know that the person you were, a sinner, is dead, and the person you now are because of Christ and faith in Christ and his grace, you are now alive to God. I struggle when I preach on baptism as an ordinance because many of us want to say baptism is a symbol, but I believe it's more than a symbol. You can almost have a symbol and it be devoid of meaning. Baptism has real meaning. It's important. It's not something you do that determines your justification, you being saved, or being in a right relationship with God, but it's the first thing we do after we get saved to begin a life of sanctification, because in baptism, that's our identity marker. We don't walk an aisle to profess our faith. We get into the baptismal waters to profess our faith. It's not you standing before a group of people and saying you got saved that professes your faith. It's you going down into those waters. And when you go down in those waters, you're testifying that you, the sinner, died. And when you come up out of that water, you're testifying that there's a brand new person alive. And this person is now alive to God. And you're a child of God. And your salvation, your new identity depends solely on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I want to say some of us were misled, and this phrase, baptized into Christ, was applied literally to the act of water, so that we have people who believe that when you go into the baptism waters, the water puts you into Christ. I ask you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul's using the Old Testament story of the children of Israel as an example of us in the church on the two ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and he reminds the church at Corinth that I'm writing these as an example to you, and then he said, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now I gotta ask you a question. It's the same phrase, baptized into Moses, as baptized into Christ. How many of you believe that when the children of Israel got to the bank of the sea, God literally put everybody there in Moses and they all walked across the sea in Moses? Nobody believes that. That phrase, baptized into Moses, means when they all got under the cloud and they all went into the water, they were referencing by that act that they were following Moses. And when you, by faith, get into the baptismal waters, you are referencing to the world that your salvation depends totally on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen? Can I say this? I struggle with whether or not we really ought to baptize people inside church buildings. I think if you work in a plant and you get saved, we're to baptize you at the plant. I think the best place in our society to baptize people would be at Walmart. Amen? Can you just imagine how word would spread? Whoa! What happened to Brian? He got baptized. How do you know he got baptized? I saw it. I was at Walmart. Yeah. In baptism, we put on Christ. In baptism, we declare, old man's dead. I'm now alive in Christ. Now, can I answer a question? Is Mimish biblically baptized? Yes. She was saved at 9, baptized at Kirksey Baptist Church, and those two other things that the church told her to do later were nothing but dunkings in water. My question to you is this. Have you been biblically baptized? Or are you hanging on to a denominational baptism? Father, challenge us to rethink about this ordinance called baptism. Help each one of us truly examine our heart and see if we are biblically baptized. Father, this church knows if anybody wants to talk about their baptism with one of us on the staff, we'd be more than willing to do that. Thank you, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.